This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode about science and trust. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. I often think that people don't believe facts. People believe people. The messenger plays a huge role in how convincing they are. Take, for example, Frank Abagnale Jr., a self-proclaimed master con man and check forger. His life was dramatized in the 2002 Steven Spielberg film Catch Me If You Can, which starred Leonardo DiCaprio.
Welcome to Miami Mutual Bank. How may I help you?
I'd like to cash this check here, and I'd like to take you out for a steak dinner.
He impersonates Pilot.
Are you real?
I sure am, little lady.
The jump seat is open.
It's been a while since I've done this. Which one's the jump seat again?
Frank charms everybody. He flies all over the world. He pretends to be a doctor, a lawyer, all while the FBI is chasing him. The kicker, he says he did all of this while still a teenager. Science writer Alan Logan watched the movie when it came out.
And I remember thinking, just having this nagging feeling, something just wasn't quite right about it. And that was that. It's that, you know, that thought, you know, went into the back of my mind for a couple of decades almost.
Alan eventually revisited that nagging feeling. He had been working on another story about another con man, and he decided to do some research on Abagnale.
And I just thought, well, let me look into it a little bit. And nothing was adding up. Nothing was verifiable.
He says what he found blew his mind. He ended up writing a book about it. It came out recently. It's called The Greatest Hoax on Earth, Catching Truth While We Can. He says most of Abagnale's great tale, his glamorous life as a faux pilot, his claims to have spent months impersonating a pediatrician, that he passed the Louisiana bar exam, it's just not true. Alan says the truth is out there in plain sight, and yet the lie is everywhere, all over the internet, and Frank is still out there telling it.
As you know, I went on to impersonate a doctor in a Georgia hospital for a while. I took the bar exams in Louisiana, passed the bar, went to work for attorney.
For example, as a speaker for the talks at Google.
That video has been viewed over 11 million times.
Alan says in this talk, Frank makes claim after claim that's made up. For example, that he was such a gifted forger, the FBI got him out of jail early to be a consultant.
When the Bureau came to me...
Around 50 minutes, Mark, he says that the FBI did a big coffee table book to celebrate their 100th anniversary. And inside that book, Abagnale claims that there's a section on him as being the only person that was ever sprung out of the federal penitentiary to work for them.
The only person they ever did that with.
I picked up a copy. There is indeed a beautiful coffee table book printed and published by the FBI, and Mr. Abagnale's name, as you might suspect, is nowhere to be found within it.
Alan says as he started to fact-check the story, it turned out that Frank Abagnale was just a small-time crook.
What really happened was that dressed as a TWA pilot, which he only did for a few weeks, he befriended a flight attendant called Paula Parks. He followed her all over the Eastern Seaboard, identified her work schedule through deceptive means, and essentially stalked the woman. She didn't know what to do with him. He showed up at her apartment in New Orleans, and she said, look, I'm on my way down to see my parents in Baton Rouge. Drove down to Baton Rouge together. So Frank Abagnale meets her parents in Baton Rouge. And a few days later, Frank Abagnale shows back up at their house in Baton Rouge and said, hey, I'm Paula's friend. Remember me? I'm on furlough as a TWA pilot. And they invited him in out of kindness. He stayed with them. They cooked him meals and so on and so forth. He took the mother out to dinner and also bought them flowers and so on. All the while, he was doing that with their stolen checks, which he had rifled through.
Alan visited the Parks family. He researched their story. He says he found evidence that Frank stole about $1,200 from the family and then more from local businesses in Baton Rouge. Frank himself claims that he never ripped off individuals, only hotels, airlines, and banks. Frank was eventually caught and arrested.
So Abagnale's narrative is that between the ages of 16 and 20, he was on the run, chased all over the United States and even internationally by the FBI. This is completely fictitious. Public records obtained by me show that he was confined, for the most part, in prison during those years. It completely implodes the narrative that he was an attorney and that he was a doctor.
So how did Frank Abagnale construct this stunning tale? Allen says after he got out of prison, a parole officer encouraged Abagnale to tell his story of being a transformed man. Abagnale ran with that idea. He started by giving small lectures, telling his story of redemption, and the tale grew larger and larger. He somehow teamed up with a well-connected producer, landing appearances on national television shows of the time. For example, one called To Tell the Truth.
Don't miss a word of the various life stories of Frank William Abagnale.
Where celebrity panelists have to identify one person who is not lying out of three people claiming to be the same person.
And perhaps for the first time in this show's history, you had three liars on the stage. Two of them were instructed to lie, and then Abagnale told multiple lies about his biography on that show. But that show was a springboard that ultimately put him onto Johnny Carson's couch. And that's when he just went on to Richter scale fame.
As Allen investigated the story of Frank Abagnale, he found the work of others who had tried to do the same decades earlier.
There was amazing journalism in 1978. Stephen Hall, who I've been in touch with, is a science journalist, one of the top science journalists in the world now. Stephen Hall, as a rookie journalist working for the San Francisco Chronicle, saw Abagnale on The Tonight Show in 1978 and started to query some of the claims, including a claim that Abagnale had put a sign over a safety deposit or a night deposit drop at Logan Airport and said it was out of order. And Abagnale dressed as a security guard and had everybody put in their cash and receipts into an alternative deposit receptacle. So when Stephen Hall, the journalist, heard this, he found it difficult to believe, contacted authorities out there and started to debunk the thing line by line.
Other journalists did the same over the years at local papers, investigated, debunked, but this was before the internet, and none of these stories went viral. Instead, Frank Abagnale's tale lived on, made it to Hollywood, which Allen says gave the story an even stronger veneer of legitimacy.
You have major Hollywood players. These are not low-level, C-level actors. You're talking about the elites. The most famous director of all time with A-level Hollywood celebrities playing the roles. So it's got to be true. You know what I mean? Because there's no way it couldn't be.
I guess you just have to be brazen enough to make these statements and just hope that nobody will check it, right?
Yeah, I think so, Mike. And that's exactly right. And that's what happens, I think, with con men that take the podium all over the place, whether they have political aspirations or whatever they may be. He has that gumption, and that can't be denied. But the fascinating thing is, it speaks a lot to the problem we have with post-truth in our society today.
Do you think we have fundamentally changed? We talk about this post-truth era. And I wonder if that's not how humans always were, but it's all become more amplified and more enhanced because of the internet and social media, and we're just clashing more often over these issues.
You're right. I mean, con men and lies have been traded in the public sphere since time immemorial. But you have seen ample evidence of the rapid speed at which misinformation is spread far and wide, and the ability of individuals who proffer conspiracy theories who were once sort of in isolated pockets to coalesce. And, that in turn, especially when you see certain celebrities endorsing conspiracy theories, relying on what feels true as opposed to things that are verifiable. And it really dilutes, and makes it harder to understand where the truth sits.
Allen says this story holds a lot of lessons for the times we live in.
we have to kind of step back for a minute. And what it's taught me is the importance of reflective thinking. Because I think many people, when they step back from this story and really take a breath and really think it through, is it possible that all this happened according to the narrative? And it's just not. It's not plausible. And so reflective thinking is something I think that is of extreme value to society right now.
Alan Logan is the author of The Greatest Hoax on Earth, Catching Truth While We Can.